what's the status of Nathan Beaulieu? Is he ready to play tomorrow?
Yeah, I believe he will be, based on today. But we'll have to check on that tomorrow just to make sure nothing changes. But he got through practice today, felt strong, felt right. Wanted a full practice, you know, kind of coming off a non-skating day that he could get pushed. So we did a little bit of grinding, and he felt pretty good.
Just talking to Jack earlier, what goes into, I mean, you were asked a question about Jack, and so you could give an answer about Jack. But, I mean, I guess, how do you balance calling out a player, I suppose, or saying something that maybe perceived as...
I wouldn't have done it after the second period.
Right.
Right? So if his game had ended the way it went through two periods, I would have left it. Because he's got nothing positive to fall back on at that point. But he makes a great play that gets us the game winner. So the truth was, I didn't love his game at all. But he did the one thing that you can do in the situation is just stay in the fight long enough and give your hockey club, you may not be able to look back and say the quality of my game was good for you guys tonight, but I can make one play to make the difference in the game. So that's great, right?
He said that, you know, in years past that he wouldn't maybe even been on the ice again if he would have played a couple periods like that.
I tried to in the second period and move some things around, but it was hard. I mean, Jack was not the lone wolf in our demise in the second period, so it was hard to find anybody that could make a difference, so I just said put him back there. No, you're right, but that's all part of this, right? Like, it's all part of, right now, he's gone from being a player that's kind of in and out of the lineup last year, show some good skill, everybody thinks, well, we'll just, you know, play him 20 minutes and he'll be awesome. And now he's got some responsibility, which is what they all want. They all want to play and be a part of it. So he plays on kind of an offensive line, does some really good things. I like what it's doing for his game. Playing with Lowry and Kopp, I think they can be really effective together. So now he's a relied upon player. And the next thing that you find out is that then we rely on you. Then you need to be reliable. So he's just going through that. I'm really happy with where Jack's at, really happy. Because the piece to all of these kids' games that you don't know is, will they get to consistent? You know, you can, any of us can look at him and say, hey, that guy's fast. Man, he's got great hands. Boy, he's got a great shot. There's all these things that, but if they're not consistent, you can't get them into the top six, really, right? You're going to be fighting with them in the three hole, and they'll never be happy either because they say, geez, like 3 games ago, I went through 5 guys. Look at all my skill. And say, that's fine. But the trade-off for me is that is the 4 times you got beat to the net and they didn't get the puck out, all those other pieces to your game. But what Jack is showing, I think, over the last week and a half to 2 weeks is some real consistency in his game. And then I made the mistake of telling him that before the San Jose game, and then boom. Right? So how many times that's happened? Hey, kid, you're playing great. Keep it going. Right into the tank. Gosh.
Josh Morrissey's minus 12. I'm just wondering, what does that number represent to you in terms of the kind of season Josh is having?
Well, I never look at that as an absolute number. That's an indicator. He's been on the ice for a lot. He's just, you know, we had a couple of real tough nights, and he's been dinged up big time on those nights. I think his game is improving. He came off, he got clipped there in the island, and I thought that set him back a little bit. And then I thought his game's getting better and stronger. And he's playing with a first-year defenseman in a lot of ways. That's, you know, one of the challenges is reading off a player, and that's where tandems almost on the blue line become more important because how they read off each other really affects them. And Tucker's played great, but there's a different reads. So there is truly some adjustment going on between partners.
In years past, you know, people have asked you, when are we going to see 44 on the power play and penalty kill and a lot more responsibilities. He's still 24, he turns 25 in March. I mean, is he overburdened at this point?
No, he's right where he should be, minutes wise. But you're right. So there, we'll go back to that again. I don't know that I'm overly sensitive to it, but it is kind of the Jack Roslovic thing, right? When it's in your first year or two, there's lots of really good things in a guy's game, and you say, hey, this guy could be on the power play, this guy could kill penalties, play against the other team's best. And you say, yeah, in a few years, he'll be able to do that. Josh got kind of fast-tracked to that with another young defenseman, and he's fine. I'm not worried about him. I mean, that number is going to bother him because he's a really conscientious guy. He's added more minutes playing with a new partner. He's got 4 or 5 things that have changed in his career, but he's, you know, really working in practice, and he's in watching video with Charlie, so I have complete faith that he's going to get to that next level.
One last thing. The incident between with Backes and Sauer, and I don't know if you saw that hit. I mean, I talked to a couple of your players, and you know, there's this sort of this hush around the rink, and
yeah.
guys cuddled around. When you see that, first of all, what do you think of that in a situation like that as an individual in this league? And also, have you been involved in one where you were watching this all unfold and you really were worried about this guy's health and safety?
Sure. It's happened, fortunately, not as often as I think it could, right? The one that always surprised me, why more players don't get hit in the face with pucks. But, and I can't remember who the answer. Steven Rice, this was a long time ago, hit an Anaheim Duck right in front of our bench by the blue line so hard that the building hushed instead of cheered. And that poor fellow laid there for a solid 10, 15 minutes, and then we couldn't do anything after that. The game completely changed. So that, I think, you know, there's the hard hits where they're cheering, but Glenn Wesley went into the glass one night and split his face right open and broke his orbital bone, and then the game was completely different. Neither team, they all kind of ride that dangerous line. It's a full contact, high seat sport, and they kind of hope. I think what happens is one of those hits happens on the ice, and everybody feels a lot more mortal, right? You go through 20 games, and they're banging, and they're all of the grinding that goes on. Nobody gets hurt. You get this invincibility. Okay, nothing bad's going to happen. Then something like that happens. You go, oh, this could happen, and it could happen tonight. We just saw it, and I think it really affects the game.
Well, when you look at the wins that you guys have been able to get recently, they haven't always been the prettiest, but with the adversity.
I thought they were beautiful, except
for the adversity that you guys have faced in terms yeah. of lineups, injuries, everything like that, what do you hope it says about your team that you've been able to come up with?
A number of them have been come from behind, and I don't feel, you got to take, I don't know, we're at 50. Take the San Jose game out because I can't argue anything that you would say about our team. But our come from behinds have been honest ones, good battles. I don't think that we were getting the doors blown off us and then got lucky at the end. We had really good pushes there. So they don't quit. And then when things aren't going your way, your biggest fear is you start to ad lib out there and you start to do things outside of structure, and that hasn't happened. So when we got ourselves in a little bit of trouble or we got behind a bit, They've kind of really bared down to focus on our game and how we want to play. So that's kind of, and the bench has been right. The fans don't get to see that or hear that, but if it gets quiet on the bench when we get down, we talk about it right away. We felt it happened a little bit partway through the Anaheim game, and we can't have that. So we come out in the third period, kind of reestablish who we are on the bench, how we talk to each other, how we play. And I've seen that in our game, and I think it's a really good thing.
Is that something you're more cognizant of? So you're of whether it be the mood of the bench or...
Yes, far more pay more attention to the mood in terms of what's happening on the ice, and it's a young group teaching them. Sometimes you have to learn how to handle that kind of adversity. Okay, this is where you need to start talking again. We need a bump here. Somebody's got to get a piece of somebody. We got to get some physicality into our game. How do they handle when things aren't going your way?
So do you find it encouraging them to see?
Very much. They've been good on the bench. They've stayed in the fight. The losses are still tough. Like they're feeling. They still feel the losses more than they enjoy the wins, which is probably okay, but you don't want to be feeling it so hard that you take yourself out of, you know, the next good game because you're still mad about the last one.
Do you have an update on Tucker Pullman for us?
Day-to-day, so there's no mechanism of injury. He just wasn't feeling right after the first period, so we're holding him off and going to get a bunch of tests on him. It's actually, it's the other unit I'm looking at, right? So we wanted to be able to, we just got stuck with the one unit. We went 10, 12 games, and we're just not getting anywhere near enough action on it. So we switched it over. Patty happened to be out. Matty Perreault went into that slot, and we got a bunch of good looks from it the day prior. So we leave it another one, and that's a pretty big goal that he scores, obviously. So there's a bunch of things that we like there. We're also trying to... When that unit wasn't going, when the kind of line A Wheeler Shifley line there wasn't going on the power play, Patty's not touching the puck an awful lot. And So when you want a guy to get back to thinking himself as a shooter, we're trying to put him in a position to shoot the puck. So having he and Nicky on his natural sides, it's not a great shooting angle, but you can get that shot off. So we just want him to shoot the puck more.
Does it connect at all to 5-on-5 for the shift after the power play at all, or is it more about what's happening?
Yeah, I wouldn't. The only times I would make an adjustment to affect the next 5-on-5 shift is it would be score based, whether I'd run two defensemen on the back end of that. And in that case, we would make an adjustment if we wanted to do that. And all we did then was just, and it happened in the game, we just used Little's line. So we would take, we either Kopp, Lowry, or net front Roscoe today, Roslovic, that we worked today, one of those three guys, those would come off.